What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got mints. Helps with energy and focus. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. I really chew it, you know, all the time. If I'm driving around showing houses, out making calls, doing a CrossFit workout, or training jiu-jitsu, or just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum, and it usually gets me to where I need to be. Only about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, so not a ton of caffeine in there to make you all jittery and stuff, but enough to kind of wake you up and get you where you need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
And shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. So great products for your beard, and not just beard, but also body wash, deodorant, made of a handful of natural ingredients that smell amazing. So they also have candles and things like that. So if you're looking to set the mood and you want your girlfriend to kiss you, these are the products for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off.
Yes.
So what's up, dude? I feel like it's been a while since we've done a you know, just classic duet. Yeah. Where it's just last week we had Murph as a guest.
Yeah,
so he's really here, yeah. But it's
for long, bitches.
This is it. This is his last episode behind the
ones and twos over here.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I come visit, I'll, I don't know, maybe I'll do guest appearances or maybe I'll be able to record a few episodes with you guys.
But yeah.
My touch will still be on the show, y'all. I'm still the editor.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely when you come in town, we're going to have to just kind of do like a, you know, we got an easy guest that week. Murph's coming in town.
I'm going to be really tan.
Yeah. He's going to come back just sunburnt.
I think I am going to change a little bit of my, no, fuck, I'm not sunburnt.
Sun-kissed.
No, dude, I do not get burnt.
You don't get
sun-kissed.
No, at the beginning of the summer, but once I'm brown, I am brown, my friend. And right now, what am I? Brown.
He's going to come back with bleach blonde hair.
No, but I am probably, you know, I did think about this.
Frosted tips.
Yep.
Okay, this is not 2002, and I am not the dude who sings for Sugar Ray, so let's just get that all fucking settled. what was it? Now, I do think that my wardrobe is probably going to change a little bit when I'm down there, because what are you most used to be wearing?
Black.
Yeah.
All black.
So you can't do that in the Florida heat.
You really can't. So I think I'll definitely wear like more bright colors down there. I'll probably switch to like all white now. Not all white.
Just cut all the sleeves off everything.
Bright neon colors to fit into that.
You know, just like button down shirts with like, you know, the sleeves rolled up. Might go back frat style a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Boat shoes and Sperry's and whatnot. You know?
Yeah.
Popping collars.
Yeah, bro. Okay. I was never one of them until like I got too fucked up and I'm like, oh, it's ironic. Look at me.
Yeah, when you're too fucked up to care.
Yeah, I was definitely too fucked up to care about much. But yeah, I will definitely be a presence still. Looking forward to still editing, giving you feedback, listening to feedback.
Yeah, loving it. Excited for it. Excited for you. Excited to see all the cool things that you create while you're down there and all the new adventures and things that you go on. So
we expect to see a lot of me partying.
Yeah, perfect.
That's.
You know, all the raves and stuff, you know.
And clubs.
Yeah,
and clubs.
You're going to Chicago this weekend, right?
I am, yes. North Coast, which was actually where I met my probably two best friends from Florida, Ian and Ashley, whom, if they ever come through St. Louis, which they have before, I'd actually love to get them on this, because as far as a young couple that's, like, busting their ass to build their brand while working day jobs and fucking just living it up and not taking life by any kind of, like, hesitancy, which I'm a big fan of, I think they'd be a pretty cool impression to leave on our audience. But yeah,
you're gonna be down there with them.
Yep. Start, you know. Oh, and dude, like, so my buddy Ian, he's a drummer and he's played for like a glam band back in the day, that was like touring with like A Day to Remember and some other shit. Like, he's a pretty cool dude, and he plays drums and he does like these rock covers of like of EDM music. So shout out to that rave drummer, go check his shit out. I'll leave it down below. But I get to go to that festival this weekend, and it's kind of funny because like that festival, I made a post like that. You know what actually also happened that week that I went to North Coast for the first time?
No.
We closed on my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. That same week, I also did my first public speaking engagement.
Damn. That's cool.
A hell of a week.
Well, you know what's all happened in the month now leading up to this is like I've rented out that first house. And this is my first move out of state, and I'm visiting that same festival this weekend. And I went on my first backpacking slash hiking trip with a featured guest on the show, Nick Baldwin, who is a fucking rip, dude. He is hilarious.
Yeah, he's a character. And you went there with the Silver Fox as well?
Dude, Mike?
Yeah.
Fucking love Mike.
Dude, he's awesome.
You guys need to get Mike on the show.
Yeah, he would be a great guest. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's just a character, all around just a character.
Dude, as far as like a chill presence in the woods, bad motherfucker.
Oh, dude, he's awesome. He's,
I felt so safe walking around with him. I'm like, look at this dude. He's so stoic. And like, anyone trying to fuck with us, he'll kill him.
Got a great beard.
His beard is the probably best groomed thing I've seen of anyone who's
lined up
person.
And it comes to a nice like point.
Could stab you in the eye with it. Yeah. Could fuck your shit up with it. And he's actually the sweetest guy in the world. And big shout out to those two because, you know, showed me a lot of fun and shit sinking in that I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I hit the road.
Crazy, dude. Less than a week as a Missourian.
Local. Forever will be a Missourian, but.
Yeah.
As a resident Missourian, I should say.
Florida Murph era starts now.
Expat from Missouri. Moving down to becoming a Floridian.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Love those taxes.
Yeah.
Shout out to my CPA. Got me at that 4% tax rate for my first year in business. My man.
Let's go.
Yeah, there you go.
Wrote off a lot of income.
Yeah.
Hey, perks of being self-employed.
I definitely like my taxes. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, Pat, how's everything going with you, man?
Pretty good. Yeah, just a lot of life changes. Selling my house.
Right.
Getting that thing sold and moving on to new things. Going to start eventually looking at potential homes for like kind of house hack. Things that we've been talking about, and now I can finally do that.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that, you know, kind of staying. I got to stay within a certain distance of where my ex-wife lives and the boys are at just because of school and ease of picking up. But, you know, Baldwin's a pretty solid rental area. Same thing. I mean, Kirkwood's not too far, too. So I'm expanding into that area possibly. So, I'm going to take some time, build up a nest egg and all that and get into doing stuff like that. So, looking forward to it.
Thinking you're just going to like single family or what's kind of the game plan, you think?
Well, there's not a lot of multifamilies.
Right. Not in those areas.
Yeah, not in those areas. It's going to be like single family homes, you know, two bed, one bath, three bed, two bath type things.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. It's, like I said, something that I can be there for a year and
go buy another one in a year from now.
Exactly.
Move someone in.
You know, there's always that concern though, you know, with the boys constantly bouncing from house to house. But, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, so take it as it comes, you know?
Absolutely. So how about you?
Dude, really busy. Things have been going really well. I've got a lot of listings right now. Got a really big one that hit the market last weekend. We're getting some interest on that one. I've got
Ben's Hill.
Yeah. So things are going good over there. And then I've got two other ones. I got one in U City and one in Crestwood. That are still active on the market. And then I've got another one coming on the market this week. It's like about 40 minutes outside of St. Louis on 5 acres, which is pretty cool.
I saw that.
I've been really busy with listings lately. So, and I've also, we're going to have a buyer under contract later today. You and I don't
know
if I've updated you on that, but, things are looking good there. So,
sweet.
Just waiting, maybe hold on. Who knows when we get out of here, I might get some good news.
Yeah.
But things are good. I'm busy. Everything with the kids is going well. Gina's going well. Can't complain too much, you know. Just getting ready for kind of switching my training up. We got a lot of competitions coming up with the gym and everything. Yeah. We've got, me and my best friend Nick, we're doing the Strange Hands events here in town, which Strange Hands is being put on by Imposed Will, which is a clothing brand, like jiu-jitsu clothing. Adam's the owner. Adam Meredith's the owner of that one. I want to get him on here. He's a black belt and really, really cool guy, but he made this brand. It's called Imposed Will, and they sell a bunch of gis and rash guards and a lot of jiu-jitsu apparel. But they teamed up with Strange Donuts, which is a donut company here in town, as well as Four Hands Brewing, which is a local like microbrewery here in town, and they made this event called Strange Hands, where they're basically collaborating and putting on like a jiu-jitsu card, and I was asked to be on that. Me and Nick both were. Getting ready for that. And then him and I were also asked to be on the CXBJJ again in the middle of October. So got both of those cards. And in between that, we've also got the biggest jiu-jitsu tournament in St. Louis for the year. And so like the whole gym's getting ready for that one. So just a lot of training, really ramping that up lately, you know, kind of coming back from a little bit of an injury that I'm feeling great now. Everything's all good. So, I had to take a couple weeks there to kind of evaluate and kind of like, all right, am I good? I think I'm good. So,
also, you're going to be featured a little instructional.
Yeah. That's exciting. Me and, Murph, former guest Uzo, we did a instructional with our coach Kyle for BJJ Fanatics, which is really cool. I've purchased several of those instructionals in the past, and it was pretty cool to actually be on one and just be the Uki for Kyle. Uki is just the guy that basically the move's getting demonstrated on.
The dummy.
Yeah. Well, it comes from a Japanese term, the Uki and the Tori. It's the doer. Uki stands for receiver, and Tori stands for doer. So it's like doer and receiver. I know it sounds kind of fucked up when you say it like that. I'm not trying to be sexual about it or anything, but
I'll start air dicking.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so we were on that, and we did that instructional. That was last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Murph's producing that for Kyle and going to send it over to BJJ Fanatics, which is pretty sweet. I'm very excited to see that when it comes out. Yeah. So how's that coming along?
Oh, I told Kyle, like, hey, with everything I got going on, bro, I'm not going to be able to touch it until I'm in Florida.
Okay.
And he was cool with it. He's like, hey, we can wait as long as you need to. Just give me an honest answer. I'm like, honestly?
Yeah.
Wait till I'm in Florida and I'll have something. Because it's really not that hard of an edit. Like,
no, I mean, it was like pretty much just like straight through most of the time.
There's not like a lot of segments out of like, how many things did we shoot? We were there for like 4 hours.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Yeah, he was very meticulous in his instruction, which I love. Like, it's one of the things I love about learning jiu-jitsu from Kyle. But it was basically like, hey, I just have to format everything, which is like color it, make sure everything sounds good as far as the audio goes, and then flow in the direction of the instructionals. There's only like two that we messed up, which is actually very impressive on his part. That, dude, like, there was just a couple things like, hey, let's do that over. Like,
yeah, I think he only did that like twice, maybe. Like, dude, if that was me, we would have been there for 10 hours.
And there was just like a couple moments where like a camera, like, it got off balance on the gimbal for a second. So I'll have to go in and find what those moments are, but like, it's going to be a pretty simple edit. And I'm just not going to lie, BJJ Fanatics, like, a lot of the things that you guys get submitted do not look good.
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
so
a lot of these things look like they're filmed with, like, an iPhone 3GS.
Right. Yeah, the quality of your stuff's going to stand out against a lot of those instructionals. That
almost
is for sure.
I'm what? Almost worried about that.
Worried about it?
Yeah, because it's like, dude, the camera quality is going to be so different. It's like, I'm using a gimbal, I have my own personal settings, like, I'll color it a certain way. It's not going to look like this really bland, overly practical footage that they live off of, and I'm like, who does this?
Well, I mean, honestly, it might open up a door
right?
for you. You
say.
Know, like
probably
that would be wrong. Sick.
Yeah.
You know, like,
toward
I mean,
the official
would...
photographer of
BJJ
Fanatics.
Yeah, dude, that could be a. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows? That could be a cool opportunity for you. So,
where are they based out of?
East Coast, I think they're out of. I want to say it's like Boston,
Philly
or Boston. It's somewhere on the East Coast. Might be Philly.
Yeah.
I think that's where they said they went. And
somewhere
filmed
with chowder.
It. Yeah, I want to say they went and filmed it. Like there that last time. Pretty sure it was Philly. Yeah, it's somewhere on the East Coast. Pretty sure it's Philly, but I'm not 100% there.
It was a tough fighter late in place, so that
yeah.
wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's where head attack team's from.
Yeah.
You know, Jared Weiner, so.
The most hardcore Philly accent I've ever heard in my
life. Oh,
yeah,
dude. He's
he's great, though.
He's awesome.
I love
he's
him.
He's fucking awesome. Yeah, Philly detective, you know, like that classic.
I was a fucking beat cop. You don't know shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he almost like went pro in skateboarding too, which is
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever go back and watch, I used to watch this documentary. I still throw it on every once in a while just because it's sick. But it's called Jiu-Jitsu versus the World.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's there's like old videos of Jared Weiner on there. Like when he was like,
oh, I didn't recognize
you know, like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. It's like him talking about it. But anyway, it's just like it's a documentary of kind of all about jiu-jitsu, how it kind of got started. And it just has like a ton of famous or not famous, but like, you know, I guess famous is probably not the right word, but notorious jiu-jitsu people in there or like practitioners or like some of the guys that kind of started it here in America. So you're ever looking for a good documentary to watch, it's free on YouTube. It's like an hour long. Okay. But anytime I watch it, it always just fires me up and like makes me want to go train. So get out there and watch that. It's a really good one. But anyway, we haven't done a James Clear 3-2-1 in a while. So we thought that'd be a good thing for us to do today. So this is the one that came out on August 22nd, so last week. Reminder, these are James Clear, the author of
Atomic Habits.
And so every week he sends out his newsletter. I recommend you subscribing to it because they're always really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's three ideas from me, two quotes from others, and one question for you. So we'll go through these. And so anyway, first thing is three ideas from me. First one is plant the seeds of greatness in your mind.
I mean, it goes back to pretty much everything that we're talking about in terms of this show with, having mental toughness and mental clarity on things and visualization. You put it in your mind that you're going to be successful and those things are going to continue to grow. You know, you continue to do that. You continue to water those seeds. You're going to see pretty good growth, solid growth out of that.
Yeah, well, but it's going to be that consistency of showing up, watering that plant every day, and eventually that seed's going to sprout, and you're going to get a little sprout sticking through the soil, but that doesn't mean it's done. You're going to have to keep watering that motherfucker until it eventually grows into an oak tree,
But the key to that is it all starts with up here.
Yeah, you got to start it with something small, and it eventually grows into something, like we were just talking about on the last show. I mean, this was kind of an idea that we sprouted out of nowhere, doing this podcast. And I mean, if you look at anything else you've ever done, like when I started training jiu-jitsu, like it was, I thought about it for a while and then I eventually had the balls to show up to the gym and that was scary. But then I showed, I got my ass kicked that day. I showed up again. And then just here I am, 6 years down the road and, I've gotten halfway decent at it.
And you're in some pretty big competitions.
Yeah, exactly. So, just consistency and, taking that seed and watering it and nurturing it and letting it grow and, not overwatering it and not leaving it out in the sun and not, it's constant maintenance, constant tweaking. There's always things that can be done better. So,
but like taking it a step further. So like, have you ever seen that video? It's been going around a lot lately, but they plant a seed in this clear box. You can see the side, you water it. You can see how it takes a while before it starts sprouting up. It's sprouting down and spreading its roots. And that's the thing is like you water that. It may not grow upwards, but it is growing downwards and planting those roots within your brain. If you're planting the seeds in your brain, it's going to grow. Those roots are going to grow deep within your brain. And that's what's going to help continue to sprout that thing forward. So it's going to intertwine itself in all of your brain if you're planting those seeds in your mind or in your brain first.
Yeah, I mean, not to keep bringing this back to jiu-jitsu, but I see a parallel there that, the brand new white belt that shows up. I remember this vividly, like in my journey. Like I remember showing up for, a couple months on end and just getting my fucking ass kicked every day. Mm-hmm. Every day, just getting my ass kicked. But then, one day someone shows up and it's their first day.
Right.
And
you beat their ass.
Yeah, and you're like, huh. That used to be me. And now I'm like, all right, I used to be a little bit better, but like, you don't think, for those months, I didn't think I was getting better at it, until I went against somebody who's brand new and it's like, oh shit. Okay. That's where I was 3 months ago and I'm here now. So I've definitely gotten better. I just didn't know I was, just cause I'm just getting my ass kicked all the time.
Right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we'll move on to the next one. All right. So the strategy required to find a great opportunity is different from the strategy required to make the most of a great opportunity.
Got you here won't get you there.
Yeah.
That's something Andy says all the time.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, you can't run the same game plan for every single... It's kind of what we were talking about earlier. And, like, in the idea of moderation with anything you do. So, when I find something that works, my first inclination is do it forever. But just because eating in a caloric surplus and lifting more weights helped me bulk up and get a more hypertrophic physique doesn't mean it's going to help me trim down for summer.
Right.
If I'm going to achieve the body I want, and I don't really care that much about my aesthetics, I never really have, but it's something that I can metaphor this to. So, for example, what got you to this point of success with the podcast, which it could be anything you want to call it. It could be, hey, dude, we broke 50 episodes in less than 50 weeks. Like, it could be fucking anything. What got us to this point is that we were doing it Well, you guys had a formal producer.
Right.
Now you guys are, in a lot of ways, taking on half my burden, the filming of everything. I'll still edit everything, but, like, the dynamic now is to change.
Yeah.
We all have to get better, including me.
Yeah, I am a little scared about that, for sure. You know, because there's been
a few times that we've had to do it ourselves, and we've messed up.
Broadcaster on. Yeah. Fucking broadcaster on.
Yeah.
Turning green.
It's green, yeah. Blinking. I'm more worried about these motherfuckers right here.
The cameras really are not the hard part.
This doesn't bother me at all, because I know that fucker's not turning off once I turn it on.
Right. Don't worry, everybody. I wrote down the settings for the camera for them. Don't worry.
Yeah. But it's just like all of a sudden that thing's shutting off on me or something, or overheating, and I'm not paying attention, and we're just ripping the conversation. You know, that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you have the audio, you have a podcast. But, you know, ultimately, I understand, like, the need for video is really up there. But again, like, you guys got to look around. Like, actually, even looking at this studio, I just took a picture and I tagged you both in it on my Instagram. Because I'm looking at this, I'm like, I'm looking at the lights, and I'm just looking at curtains and just the whole, it's not really even a man cave. It's a fucking studio, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is so much better than the room upstairs, especially the lighting situation. Like, that's what, like, gets me geeked. And just seeing the quality of the equipment that's around you, it's like, I mean, like, we started off really DIY. We were using lamps.
Yeah, that's true.
The first few episodes were pretty dark.
Yeah,
I kind of
going
like,
back and
I
looking at
liked
them.
It. I had a moody lighting.
Yeah, it was moody.
Yeah, it was super moody. But like this, everything's well exposed. And it's bright, and the camera quality. Like one of the things I had to change up because I left you all those instructions. It was like if you look at those first few episodes, everything's not as clear on camera.
Mm.
Everything's a lot more blurry, and it's because I was shooting at a way higher aperture. But like I didn't need to. And that was one of the things that we talked about with Matt Joe when he was here. I'm like, one of the things that I learned from you is, like, don't always shoot wide open. So, you know, being able to experiment with different focal lengths, different apertures, different lighting techniques, different locations, different acoustic treatings, different methods of creating episodes on the fly. Remember fucking.
Right.
Yeah. I think the acoustics down here are pretty good, too.
They're great.
Yeah, I think they might be better than upstairs. What do you think?
Well, as far as.
Hard to tell, but.
Oh, for me, it's actually kind of clear as day.
Oh. Okay.
Where's Remington?
Yeah, Remington.
All right.
Here.
Well, he was snapping around. He would still hear everything that I don't hear. He's fucking a giant. But anyways, so here are things why I think this is so much better. Like upstairs, this is carpeted, but like you aren't right next to the wall anymore. That's pretty cool. Those sound curtains do a way better job of absorbing sound than just about anything else.
It's not bouncing off of it.
Yeah, the ceilings are they're just about as high. But I mean,
I think the fact that they're different levels, like there's. The rafters and they're not, there's like gaps in between. I think the Remington was saying that that helps because if it's like a flat surface, it bounces better. Whereas this, I think it's like breaking up the sound waves.
Also, we don't have to necessarily leave the windows open as a means of keeping the room cool and light. And you don't hear that bird chirping from the outside anymore. It was always nice to kind of hear it, but then I'd be editing and I'm like, we actually legitimately have like sounds of nature in our fucking podcast.
Yeah.
No, I mean, dude, that couch over there does a really good job absorbing sound. All this furniture absorbs sound pretty well. If I was to be annoyed by anything, it'd actually probably be what you're talking about right here, the secret box. But dun dun dun.
What is in there?
What's in the box? We also recently discovered the soundboard. I didn't know none of this shit was loaded up, and we just started pressing shit earlier, and I was like, That's fucking all right. Turn off. Yeah. All right. So that's my anticipation of that question, or, you know, I'm trying to join in as much as I can with this one. What got you here will not get you there. You've got to be willing to do that next step. And who knows what that is?
Well, one, what it says on here is a lot of saying yes and exploring widely. And then a lot of saying no and remaining focused is part of that quote. Yeah. I mean, when you're trying to explore and trying to grow, find opportunities, you have to say yes to more opportunities to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And then once you find that opportunity that you want to go at, you're going to have to dedicate to it and say no and focus fully on that one opportunity.
Hey, Murph, do you want to move to Florida? Florida? This is one shot.
Yeah. Right?
Going.
Yeah, so you found the opportunity, and now while you're in that opportunity, you're going to be saying no to a lot of things to focus on that opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
I hijacked the shit out.
No, that's all good, right. Brother. I appreciate it. Oh, we got a little bit of a longer one here.
Mm.
I have had periods in my career when I have been sprinting full speed and accomplished a great deal. I have had seasons where I've been fairly lazy and coasted on my previous effort. What I've learned is that I am a major obstruction to getting results. Whether external conditions are favorable or unfavorable makes less difference than whether I am fully engaged and consistent. Even in my competitive fields, the competition is primarily within yourself.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everything, like you said, the seasons are going to change. And that's never going to be perfect. But if you can control your attitude and approach to it, where he's saying, like, hey, there's some seasons where I'm go, and other seasons where I'm lazy. But if you want the results of what you're getting when you're go, then you have to stay go. Can't fall back and get lazy. I mean, I've fallen into that same routine. I actually had this conversation with Rachel. You know, I do, she's obviously the coach at CrossFit Achieve, but she's also my nutritionist, and we do, you know, weekly meetings. And the last meeting we had was like, since I've been 8 years old, I've been playing baseball. And what's funny about the career that I'm in now kind of follows that same cycle of the baseball season. So like in the winter, like come October, you know, that's when off season starts, and that's when off season training, and you go hard and you practice hard and you train hard through those months and to get stronger. So when you hit the baseball season and you leave for spring training, you're in game shape. So then you're just maintaining game shape. You're not really working out to get stronger and heart and all that. You're working out to maintain through from the middle, late February through September. And the real estate industry kind of follows that same path.
It's really
like,
does, yeah.
You know, you're like, so you're, I'm busting my ass and I'm having more meetings and calls and doing all these things and for growth and building again, strength from October through February, because that's when it's slow in the real estate market. And then hoping that everything that I've done and worked hard for in those months will translate and carry over through the spring and the summer until school starts. And then that's when you start ramping back up on the things that you need to work on and doing all that. And it's kind of been that same thing. And I told her, because I was like going hard when I first got in, when I first started doing it. And she was just like, well, is it being burnt out? I said, no, it's because of that routine I've been on since I was 8 years old. You know, from the time I started playing baseball, that was the schedule. That was the routine of, hey, you're in the summer, so you're maintaining what you need to do to be good, and then you're working harder in the off season to be better for next season. And so that's kind of how I've always, and then so like I've really kind of been in that maintenance mode since the summer started. And instead of doing what I do October through February all year round, and so that's like that's my real life example of applying to this what's being taught. And for me, like if I want to continue to grow, I need to take that approach from October to February and do it all year round,
yeah.
Whether it's in the gym, with work, with anything. And, you know, it's, you know, that one resonates with me very, you know, very much. So,
yeah, no, that's, it makes complete sense. I never thought about the real estate industry following the baseball season too. That's,
yeah,
it's pretty true. I mean, because it's like spring to summer is when it's crazy and busy, and then it typically slows down in the winter. And
right, and it's hard, you know, it's tough when things get crazy to continue that path of growth. And so it's like you fall into that routine of maintenance where it's like you're just maintaining what you're currently doing and adjusting what you do. But at the same time, like, hey, you can't, at least on my side, you have to continue to do the same things over and over again to grow consistently. So
perfect. On to the next. All right. Two quotes from others. Writer and philosopher.
He's a philosopher.
Philosophizer. He's a philosopher.
Butcher the same.
Bleed my own blood.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nor the pizza down my pants.
Yeah. Robert Persig.
I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. On enjoying the journey. Mountains should be climbed as little, you want to take this one?
Sure.
I can't fucking read.
Mountains should be climbed with as little effort as possible and without desire. The reality of your own nature should determine the speed. If you become restless, speed up. If you become winded, slow down. You climb the mountain in an equilibrium between relentless and exhaustion. Then, when you're no longer thinking ahead, each footstep isn't just a means to an end, but a unique event in itself. This leaf has jagged edges. This rock looks loose. From this place, the snow is less visible. even though closer, these are things you should notice anyway. To live only for some future goal is shallow. It's the sides of the mountain which sustain life, not the top. Here's where things grow.
Journey, not destination.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, it's all about the about climbing the mountain. It's not about the view.
Yeah, I think we just talked about on the last episode where people, you know, entrepreneurs, they want to get to the, they want to be at the top. Like, that's the thing, but they're not willing to put the work in that gets them there.
Right. Well, and it's, you got, I feel like people don't appreciate the climb as much.
Right.
And you want to get to that top. I feel like as an entrepreneur, there's no like true top of the mountain. Mm-mm. Like, you know, I feel like there's points where you can sit back and enjoy the view, but like, I don't think you're ever really done.
Yeah. You might climb and hit a ledge where you can relax for a minute but
there's still another level.
Right.
There.
You don't want to get too comfortable at that. So you got to climb again.
Or you can stay there, you know, but I feel like if you want to keep improving, you know, you got to always keep climbing and looking for the next best thing.
Look at Andy.
Yeah.
Andy's not driven by money. He's not driven by like how big the company is. It's a mission of how many people's lives did he change? How many people did he get to where they couldn't walk to where they could start running? And yeah, he wants to compete with Nike and Gatorade and slap the shit out of both of them, which, hey, I'll give my money to help him do that. Like,
right.
But it transcends so much more than just being the biggest or being number one. It's like, no, we have this thing that I will never be satisfied on, and I will do it until it kills me.
Yeah, but also to that point, or to this point, is if you're thinking about starting at the top, you've missed a whole bunch of skills to help you maintain being at the top.
Yeah, you're not gonna be.
Yeah, you just start right there at the top. You're gonna fall down real quick because you're gonna miss all of those learning experiences along the way that got you there. Okay. So yeah, it's definitely worth the climb to get to the top.
Yeah. All right, next one. Economics professor Tyler Cowden on raising the aspiration of others. Yesterday, I had lunch with a former PhD student of mine who is now highly successful and tenured at a very good school. I was reminded that over 20 years ago, I was the graduate director of admissions. One of my favorite strategies was to take strong candidates who applied for master's and also offer them PhD admissions, suggesting they might do the latter. My lunch partner was a beneficiary of this de facto policy. At least two of our very best students went down this route. Neither realized that it was common simply to apply straight to PhD programs, skipping over the master's. I believe this is now better known, but the point of this, at critical moments in time, you can raise the aspirations of others significantly, especially when they are relatively young, simply by suggesting they do something better or more ambitious than what they thought or what they had in mind. It costs you relatively little to do this, but to benefit them and to the broader world, it may be enormous. This is, in fact, one of the most valuable things you can do with your time and your life.
Inspire others. Help people believe in themselves.
That's pretty much what you just said about Andy.
Yeah. Like, dream bigger. Right. You know, one thing I kind of take from this is, I don't know, it was something that I guess Alex kind of taught me when I first got into real estate, was like, have really big goals, you know, like set goals way bigger than you think you should, you know? And that was something that I did in that first year of real estate, you know, like I wanted to, well, I mean, I set goals, like I wanted to do this full time, you know, and I was able to accomplish that pretty quickly in there. Like I never really went back to my full-time job or the restaurant whenever COVID, I mean, I did for like 2 weeks and then I came back. But, you know, he's just like, set really big goals. And I think, what do we call them? BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, set goals that scare you.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, no way I'm gonna be able to do that. And, you know, cause the way I always kind of looked at it was, and I guess I've kind of done this almost every year since, is I do set goals probably even bigger than I anticipate or bigger than I think that I can do. But it's like, if I even come up a little bit short, which has almost happened every year in my real estate career. Like, for example, like last year, I wanted to do 50 deals, ended up doing 48. Still a pretty damn good year.
Right.
You know, like, you know, so set goals bigger than what you think you can accomplish. And
And, turn me off.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, set goals bigger than what you think you can accomplish, and you know, you'll generally probably end up doing better than you would have if otherwise. So that's kind of what I take from that.
Yeah, and to add to that, so I listening to the Chris Williamson and Alex Hormozi podcast. It was so good.
I told you, bro. Have you listened to the other ones?
I know I'm going to.
Yeah, so that was the fourth one they've done together, and every single one of them's been fire.
So he was talking about like it's okay to stretch the timeline out on those goals.
Yeah.
Like it does, like the example he uses, he's like, yeah, if I ask you to learn French in a day, you're gonna be like, no, that's not possible. But if I ask you to learn French in 10 years, you know, that might be something that's possible. So, you know, it comes down to it, making sure you have your yearly goals, like your short-term goals, as well as your long-term goals, and making sure that you're setting them both up to where they're in alignment. You know, hey, your short-term goals should also be scary. It should be something that pushes you, but also their long-term goal is something that lines up with that. So, yeah, I mean, that was a great podcast. Dude, it's unbelievable.
Like, I've re-listened to the first or the second one a couple times just because it's like, there's so much there, and it's like I could listen to those two talk all day it's just like Hormozi's just like a Yoda
when it comes to crazy. Business.
Like he's so good. All the shit he says, and like I honestly watched that podcast. I actually watched it on YouTube because I was like, man, this is like goals for what I would love this show to eventually evolve into. And I'm not saying I want to like copy Modern Wisdom or anything, but it is one of my favorite podcasts. It's an inspiration for this show. Not gonna lie there, but like everything I took away from that, I was like, just the visual quality of it, like the all the different camera angles and just how pretty it looked, and like in they shot it in a gym. Like they just clearly like turned all the lights off in a gym and like silhouetted, like, you know, with That's lighting cool. like we've got over here, you know, like it just made it look so cool. And just like, okay, one, the video quality and like the visual and everything, that's a goal that I would love to eventually like get that to at some point, you know, down the line. But also like the quality of conversation and like how both of those people just articulate themselves so well. And like, they're just so, everything that they say, I feel like is so well thought out. And so like, I don't know, just sounds so good.
Everything sounds better with an accent.
100%. Like, I need to work on my British accent.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, Alex Hormozi has no accent.
No.
Well, talking about Chris.
But he's also very articulate the sound of his voice is...
It's comforting.
Yeah, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because he's a guy's guy. Like, I mean, I've... No flex here, but I mean, I've met Alex, I've met Layla, and they're really, really great people. The thing I love about him is... they are no different than who they portray themselves to be on social media, which is so refreshing. Because, I mean, like, if you're in a room with Andy and Alex, it's like, okay, this is the most genuine room ever. And if you're not listening, you're fucking stupid. But I took a lot away from those conversations. And
got to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Just, like, hanging out with those two for the day, man. I'm so jealous.
It was great. But, like, at the same time, it was, like, most of the things that they were talking about, they talked about in their podcasts and their episodes. Yeah. Like, there's not much information that these guys aren't giving out. It's, like, if you want direct consultation from them, it's a little different. But I mean, for me personally, like, I sat there and I talked to Alex and he talked about the impact his dad had on him. Like, it was really cool because most people look at you like you've got everything figured out, you've always had everything figured out, but you're still a human. Just because you can explain things really well or just because you have some successful businesses doesn't make you any less human unless you make it that way. And also about your point too about saying like, hey, Modern Wisdom has been a big inspiration for the show. I was gonna make a story post about this the other day. I've always been one that says, like, good artists borrow, great artists steal. I add the asterisk to, like, if you're going to be a great artist that steals, just seek to improve upon one of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to have camera quality like Chris Williams.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, those are 6K cameras.
Yeah, we'll
get there.
At the
very minimum, we can get there.
Right.
And it's always like, but we're not going to do everything the same way. We're going to find a way to say, like, I think we can do that better.
Sure.
Or we can do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big piece of making this thing work. And we had the balls to make it different from what it was upstairs to downstairs. So we're fucking 72 episodes in 1 year.
Yeah.
Less than a year.
Pretty damn good, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, I'm impressed with how this thing looks right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy with how it looks too.
Looks
great. All the lights and stuff. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just always a work in progress, man. There's always things that can be improved. So, you know, that's how I look at it. And, you know, we're well on our way, I think. So
absolutely.
Last Whole one. Time.
Last
we got
thing.
The
question for you. What can I do today to practice 5 minutes of self-care? So what can you do today to practice 5 minutes of self-care?
Roll that shit, light that shit, smoke that shit.
And Murph with the sign-off.
Yeah.
See you later, folks.
I'm out.
Mic drop.
Man. One thing I think, I would love to get back into the habit of a daily meditation. That was something I did for a long time. And I'll be honest, it's like ever since, you know, I haven't been as consistent with it ever since I've had kids. But like whenever I, you know, because I used to just wake up and it was silent in the house. that doesn't happen anymore. But I would love to get back to, because it sounds silly, you know, but just spending 10 minutes like focusing on nothing but your breath, or, you know, following whatever the guided meditation was for the day that I was listening to. I used to use the Sam Harris app, the Waking Up app.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it's really, really good. And it's like a different than other meditation apps I've used and stuff in the past. So I would love to get back to that. I think that would just give me, it always kind of like centered me for the day and kind of start my day out on a, just a good step forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of starting the day out with a win. And there's just something I do, like right when I wake up, I'd wake up, go sit on the couch and just do it right then and there. And I just need to get back to doing that, because I think it really, really started my day off good. And it just kind of got my head in a right space to start the day, and really got me thinking about all the, well, actually got me not thinking, which is
right
hard to do.
Sam Harris is a brain surgeon. Yes.
Neurosurgeon, I think. Yeah.
Sam, stick to neuroscience. Stop talking about politics, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. Or those.
It wouldn't be a show if Murph didn't put a political comment out there for us.
Mean Orange Man 2024. Don't care if you like it. Yeah. I'm pulling out all the stops today. We got 13% left on that battery, and I'm fucking using every bit of it I got. Go ahead.
So this is something actually I've been doing lately. And again, it took Rachel giving me a kick in the ass, just because it's like I've been working on waking up early. Like getting to the 5 a.m. club. We read that book a couple months ago, and really working on implementing that stuff. And what I've been doing was really focusing on, you know, the reading and the planning of my day, whole portion of that. And, you know, I've been, Rachel's on me all the time. Fucking walk. Start walking more. I just want you to go walk. I'm not asking you to go run. I'm asking you to go walk. Shout out Rachel for continuing to kick my ass and be on me for this, because I did. I started this. So I just, after our conversation last week, I was like, I need to stop making fucking excuses and being too busy. I wake up in the morning. I'm up early. So why don't I just do it right then and there? So that's what I started doing. So now every morning I get up and I go for a 25, 30 minute walk, and that, and listen to podcasts. So that's what I've been listening to, the Chris Williamson and Alex Hormozi podcast, getting 30 minute bits in there. And which is, I mean, that episode, and I'm excited to go back and listen to more of it, because that whole thing is just chock full of, of great, of amazing, amazing content. And so it's perfect. It's like, awesome. So like, I'm looking forward to that now every morning when I wake up, like, hey, that's the only time I'll listen to it. I won't listen to it throughout the day. That way I have something to look forward to in the morning. And that's how I've been handling my self-care, and I'm getting those steps in, and I'm finally walking, Rachel. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. That's what I'm going to continue to do, because yeah, it does. It's amazing where I've been at this week, like on the mental side of things. Like, yeah, I've been getting up, working out and all that, and doing those things, but like adding that little bit, just that 25, 30 minutes in the morning has been huge. And it's like one of those things, like, fuck, why didn't I listen to her sooner? Like, why didn't I just do this shit sooner? And where would I be if I would have started sooner? But started now, and I'm excited to see where this continues to go. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to when it gets fucking cold, but hey, we'll bundle up and see what happens.
I'll FaceTime you from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Balls out on the beach.
Well, I'm in the middle of a blizzard. I'll FaceTime you at 5 in the morning.
It'll be earlier where I'm at, so no, you won't.
Is it an hour ahead down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 6 o'clock your time?
Eastern Standard, baby.
All right, guys.
You ever think about that? Like those places that live so fucking close to like, hey, one per, like you literally could walk across backyards and be in different time zones.
Yeah. I don't envy those people.
Oh, no. I never thought about that. No.
Yeah.
That must suck.
I remember
that'd
there
be
was,
so weird.
Yeah. I remember. So like in college, was it Indiana State? So they were on Eastern Standard Time, but they were like right there on where the time switches, and they would put the visiting team on Central Standard Time. where our hotel was. So it was like kind of fucked with us.
Oh, yeah.
Assholes. It's smart. I'd do the same shit. But
yeah,
we were always like, hey, what time's the game? And they'd be like, oh, 11. And we forget like, hey, that's 10 o'clock our time where we're staying at.
Yeah.
So we need to leave even sooner. So yeah, in the States, smart fuckers. Yeah, smart little assholes.
Is this it?
Yeah.
So Murph, all right, here we go. Murph, we got some time left. We'll leave this to you. What do you want to say in closing as you peace out to Florida?
It's been an honor and a privilege and an adventure. I appreciate that I have friends that invest into me, not only as far as our friendship and the time, but again, you guys help me pay my bills. Creating a podcast is not about getting sponsors or big following. It's about anything that you do that's entrepreneurial, a service. You're providing value to people. And as you two have grown as content creators and as friends and as people and as parents, I've gained so much from being around you two. And of all the people who I can continue to help in St. Louis, there's people like you, people at Fit Flavors who really mean a lot to me. You know, I'm very grateful, and I've grown a lot as a content creator and as a podcast producer from doing this. So thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for responding to my 4 a.m. messages that I fucked something up or something's wrong and that we could fix it. And I'm excited for hundreds of episodes more of the Zach and Pat Show. And, you know, like I said, him in life and in death, lifelong enemy of communism, fuck communism. And guys, if you would please leave a like, subscribe to the show, leave a comment down below about how excited you are for me to finally be getting my ass down to Florida. And with that all said, I'm out.
Standing O for Murph.
It's been real and it's been neat, but mostly it's been real fucking neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's been fucking awesome, man. We're proud of you and happy for you and excited to see what you got coming up.
Thanks, y'all.
Peace out.
Peace out, guys.
Yo!